You're 40 minutes into your long cross country. You plan this flight for a week. You've got the sectional folded just right. Your checkpoints are dialed, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Then the examiner taps the chart and says, "Weather's coming in behind us. I need you to get us to the nearest suitable airport. Now," and your whole beautiful plan goes right out the window. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we try to make you a better, safer pilot, one segment at a time. Today we're talking about the diversion, the turn you didn't plan for, the one the examiner absolutely will spring on you, and the one that, out in the real world, might be the thing that saves your airplane. Because here's the truth, every cross-country you plan on the ground is a work of fiction. It's a good story, it's a useful story, but the airplane doesn't read the story, the weather doesn't read the story, and the day you actually need to divert, you will not have a plotter, a flight computer, and a quiet kitchen table. You'll have a bumpy cockpit, a rising heart rate, and about 90 seconds to make a decision. So let's walk through this together. Let's make the diversion something you can do calmly, with your thumb and a pencil, instead of something that ambushes you. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you'll want to remember long after the logbook page fills up. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's talk about what the diversion actually is in the Airman Certification Standards. The diversion is its own task under cross-country flight planning. The examiner wants to see that you can select a suitable airport and a route to it, that you can make a reasonable estimate of heading, ground speed, arrival time, and fuel burn, and that you can do all of it while you keep flying the airplane. That last part is the whole game, and we'll come back to it. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The examiner is not looking for precision. They're looking for a pilot who can make a good decision quickly and act on it. Nobody expects your diversion heading to be perfect to the degree. If you turn the airplane toward a good airport, give a time estimate that's in the ballpark and never stop flying. You have passed that task. Students fail the diversion not because their math is off by 3 degrees. They fail it because they put their head down in the cockpit, start drawing lines with a plotter, and forget that they're the only one holding the airplane up. So let's build a method that keeps your head up. Step 1. Fly the airplane. Pick a heading, any reasonable heading in the general direction you think you need to go, and get the wings level and the airplane trimmed. This sounds too simple to matter. It is the most important step. The moment the examiner says divert, your instinct is to look down and solve the problem. Don't. Point the nose roughly the right way first. Buy yourself a stable platform, then think. Step 2. Pick the airport. And here's where a lot of students overthink it. They want the perfect airport, the one with the long runway and the cheap fuel and the restaurant. Forget perfect. You want suitable and you want close. Look at your sectional or look at your moving map and find an airport that is near you that you can actually get to and that fits the airplane. Long enough runway, right kind of airspace for your comfort level, and ideally into the wind if weather's a factor. Nearest and adequate beats far, and perfect every time. Now a word about the magenta. Yes, your GPS has a nearest function on a Garmin. You hit that direct to or the nearest page, and it'll spit out the closest airports with distance and bearing right there, and you should absolutely use it. That is a legitimate tool, and the examiner will let you use it. I'm not here to tell you to ignore the panel, but I am going to tell you why you also need to be able to do this with your thumb. Because the day the diversion really counts, it might be the day the alternator quit, or the day you're VFR into deteriorating weather and you're task saturated, and the last thing you want is to be scrolling through menu pages. When the panel is helping you, great. When the panel is one more thing demanding your attention, you want a backup that lives in your hands and your head. So let's learn the thumb method. Here's the trick, and it's an old one. On most sectional charts, the distance across your thumb, from the tip to the first knuckle, is right around 10 nautical miles at sectional scale. Everybody's thumb is a little different, so do this on the ground. Take a ruler, find 10 miles using the latitude scale or the mileage markers, and see where that lands on your thumb. Learn your own hand. Some folks use the width of their fingers, some use a pencil with marks on it. The point is, you carry a measuring tool with you everywhere you go, and it never needs batteries. So you spot your divert airport. You lay your thumb from your present position to that airport. 2 thumb widths, you're looking at about 20 miles. Good enough. Now you've got distance. For direction, you don't need the plotter either. Look at the nearest line of longitude, those lines that run north and south, and just eyeball the angle from your position to the airport relative to that line. Straight up the chart is roughly north, that's 360, to the right is 90, east, down is 180, south, left is 270, west. You're estimating a heading here, not surveying it. If the airport is up and a little to the right of you, that's somewhere around 020030. Turn the airplane to that, done, you're now diverting, see how fast that was, fly the airplane, pick the airport, thumb the distance, eyeball the heading, turn. You can do that in under a minute with your head mostly outside. Now let's get the time and fuel, because the examiner wants a number, and more importantly, you want a number. Here's the mental math that'll save you. Most of us fly trainers that cruise right around 120 knots, give or take. 120 knots is 2 miles a minute. That is the most useful number in cross-country flying, and almost nobody teaches it as a rule of thumb. 2 miles a minute. So if your divert airport is 20 miles away, that's 10 minutes, 30 miles, 15 minutes. You just divide the distance by 2, flying a slower airplane? A Cessna 152 doing 90 knots is a mile and a half a minute. A Cessna 172 at around 120 is your clean, 2 a minute. Know your airplane's number before you ever take off, and the time estimate becomes something you do in your head while you're looking out the window. 20 miles, 10 minutes, now fuel. If your airplane burns, say, 8 gallons an hour, that's a gallon every 7.5 minutes, call it a gallon every 8 minutes to keep it easy. 10 minutes to the airport, you'll use a little over a gallon getting there. Now you glance at your fuel gauges and your watch and ask the real question. Do I have that, plus my reserves, plus a comfortable margin? If yes, you're golden. If the answer's getting tight, that itself is telling you something important about how urgent this diversion really is. And notice the wind. I told you to eyeball the heading off the chart, and that gives you a course, not a wind-corrected heading, on a short diversion. 20-30 miles, the wind correction is usually small enough that you'll see your error and just adjust. You point the nose, you watch the airport, and if you're drifting off to one side, you crab into it. 20 miles is not far enough for a few degrees of wind error to hurt you. Pilotage cleans up dead reckoning. You look outside, you find the airport, and you fly to the thing you can see. That's the beauty of a diversion. You usually get to look at where you're going. Let me give you a real scenario, because this is where it clicks. You're a student on your long solo cross country. You're cruising along, everything's fine, and you notice the visibility ahead is getting soft. The horizon's going hazy. You check the time and you realize that build-up they mentioned in the briefing showed up an hour early. This is not a check ride. This is real. Nobody's grading you, but this is exactly the moment. Everything we just practiced pays off. You don't panic, you level the wings, you hold your heading for a second, and you think, you know from your planning that there's an airport back and to your right, maybe 15 miles, that you passed near a little while ago, and it's got a nice long runway and it's away from the weather. You lay your thumb on the chart. Yep, about 15. You eyeball the direction. It's behind your right shoulder, roughly south, so call it a heading around 170. You start a gentle turn. 15 miles at 2 miles a minute is 7, 8 minutes. You've got plenty of fuel, you take a breath. You get the automated weather, the ADIS or the AWOS on the way in. And now you're not a scared student flying into weather. You're a pilot executing a plan. That's the whole point of practicing this until it's boring. So that when it's real, it's boring. A couple of things I want you to hang on to. The first is that a good diversion decision is almost always an early one. The pilots who get in trouble aren't the ones who divert. They're the ones who wait and press on and hope it gets better, and then divert when they're already deep in a corner with the weather closing behind them. The best time to divert is the moment you first think, I don't love this. That little voice is data. When you hear it, start running the numbers even if you don't turn yet. Have the airport pick before you need it. The second thing, tell somebody. If you're talking to air traffic control and on a cross country you often are, use them. Approach, I'd like to divert to such and such airport for weather. Request direct, they will help you. They'll give you a vector. They'll give you the frequency. They'll point you at the field. Nobody's gonna think less of you. A controller would 1,000 times rather turn you toward a good airport than watch you push into something ugly. And on the check ride, showing that you'll use every resource in the cockpit, including the human ones on the radio, is exactly the judgment the examiner wants to see. And the third, keep flying the airplane. I know I keep saying it. I'm saying it again on purpose. Every task in cross-country flying, the diversion most of all, is really a test of whether you can think and fly at the same time. So do your figuring in small bites. Head up, pick the heading, turn. Head down for 5 seconds, thumb the distance, head up, fly, head down, do the time math, Head up, fly. Never let the arithmetic pull you into a slow descent you didn't notice. The airplane doesn't care about your math. It cares that somebody's flying it. Learning to fly is hard, it's expensive, and the cross-country phase is where a lot of that money and worry lives, because now you're going somewhere and the whole thing feels bigger. The diversion feels like the scariest part because it's the part you can't fully plan, but that's exactly backwards. The diversion is the one skill that proves you don't need the perfect plan. You can handle it when the plan falls apart. That's not the scary part of being a pilot. That's the part that makes you one. So next time you go up, even on a nice day, play the game. Pick a spot on your route, cover the GPS, and say to yourself, divert, now. Thumb the distance, eyeball the heading, do the time in your head turn. Then check yourself against the panel and see how close you got. Do that a dozen times and I promise you the day someone taps the chart and says, get us down, your hands will already know what to do. The material on the diversion task comes straight from the FAA's Airman Certification Standards and the Airplane Flying Handbook, and the rest comes from a lot of instructors and a lot of cross-countries that didn't go according to plan. You can find more at radiohangar.com. Point the nose at the good airport, keep your head outside, and go fly. I'll see you next time.